We're beginning tonight looking and using the book Disciplines of a Godly Family to be our guide, looking tonight at building a family heritage. And I need to always start talks like this with a disclaimer. In no ways in doing these talks am I claiming to be a perfect parent, a perfect father. There are two girls who quickly be able to tell you that I am not the perfect father by any means, and don't listen to anything I say. But and I mean that, and really, one of the things I like doing series like this is for me to learn as well along the way, and to learn from two people who have been very godly parents themselves who have written this book. So with that disclaimer, we're going to be thinking tonight about building a family heritage. I'm going to begin with a quote here from Kent and Barbara Hughes, and you'll see it up there. It says, "Parenting, not politics, not the classroom, not the laboratory, not even the pulpit, is the place of greatest influence. To suppose otherwise is to be captive to the shriveled secular delusion. We must understand that it is through the godly family that God's grace, a vision of God, a burden for the world, and a Christian character are most powerfully communicated." And so that should really encourage us and yet maybe frighten us, that the most influential place on earth, well, Kent and Barbara Hughes, is the home. Parenting is the most influential thing. And we're all, those of us who are parents, we can't abdicate as parents. And the challenge is to be the parents that God calls us to be. Let's think of a quote about from Robert Dabney, who lived in the 1800s in America, an American theologian. He says this, "The education of children for God is the most important business done on earth. It is the one business for which the earth exists. To it, all politics, all war, all literature, all money making ought to be subordinated. And every parent especially ought to feel every hour of the day that next to making his own calling and election sure, this is the end for which he is kept alive by God. This is his task on earth." And so, Dabney is trying to get across to us that if we're parents, we have a high calling, we have a privileged position, we have the most important task of all, if we are parents. Psalm 127 is the psalm in which I normally read at the beginning of weddings, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor in vain." And in that psalm, it describes children as being like arrows in a quiver. And parenting is like shooting an arrow out from a bow. And if we want those arrows to go in the right direction, we want those arrows to go in a godly direction. And one of the most important things that we're thinking about tonight for our children to go in the right direction is to have a sense of identity as to who they are. So tonight, in thinking the subject of building a family heritage, what we're thinking about is how do we instill in our children a sense of identity as to who they are. As to who they are in belonging to your family, as who they are in belonging to a family that is a Christian family. So that brings us to the first point, which is the importance of family roots. And just to mention, we're looking at chapters 1 and 3 of Disciplines of a Godly Family this evening. Our children, I think it's important, need to know where they come from. I think it's important for children to know about their family, that we take time to discuss this with our children. One of the things as a minister, when somebody dies and I go and meet with the family, and maybe it's an older person who has died, and I'll ask a wee bit about the background, where were they born, who were their parents, and it amazes me that there are times when there are people speaking to me who don't even know the name of their own grandparents. And that, now maybe these are folk who passed away when these folk were very young, and that I'll never forget my two grandfathers because I'm William James Allen Moody. James and Allen are my two grandfathers, and I'll never forget it. But it amazes me that so many folk don't know a lot about their family background. And it also then comes out when you're talking to families in those situations. It's a number of things that come up and family members say, "Well, I didn't know that." And of course, we'll not know everything, but I think it's important that we do know about our families, that we do have time sharing about our families, that we talk to our children about who we were and what it was like growing up. We talk to our children about their grandparents and so forth. In that, it's good to use an old, if you've got old photo albums, if those things still exist, and using those, and to take time with kids and talking through about their families. Now, the reason why this is important, if we fail to do this, if we fail to give our children a sense of identity, they will live just for pleasure rather than by principle. Children need to grow up knowing this is what we do because I belong to this family. This is what we are about as a family. I'm a Moody or I'm a Miller or McFetridge or go down all the names. But this is what it means to belong to family. I have a sense of identity as to who I am. And in many ways, and particularly probably with broken families, that sense of identity is being lost. And we need to work on that with our families. As we do that, as we talk to our families and our children about their families in the past, there are three things which I think Barbara and Kent Hughes bring out, which is important. First of all, there's times where we might have to speak about the need for forgiveness. Barbara Hughes, and I think it should be encouraging for those in a similar situation, she did not grow up in a particularly nice family situation. Her father was an alcoholic. And she tells a story of the day of her graduation, her father turned up drunk and made quite a scene. And she was left with a choice that day. Does she try to ignore her father, hoping that he'll not cause too much embarrassment to her and people not realize his connection to her? She didn't do that. She took her father around, introduced her father to members of the faculty, saying who he was. She determined at that moment when he did make a bit of a scene that she was going to show grace and forgiveness to him. She was not going to let his behavior cause her to act in a wrong manner. And so forgiveness sometimes passes. Maybe forgiveness is not even the word for all situations, but sometimes it's maybe admitting with our children as we talk about their past, talk about your family background, admitting the weaknesses in your family, admitting the traits which are not acceptable. I know going back in the Moody family, there are certain traits in the Moody family and I'm aware of, and I have to be aware of those and not let the wrong traits continue in the future generations. So forgiveness. The second thing is to focus on the good, chatting about the good qualities of a previous generation, and particularly where children talking about their grandparents and of an era where a generation who knew how to work, who knew how to cope in difficult days. We live in probably an age now where people don't know that, and it's good to share about the good qualities. That's why I have no difficulty in sharing tributes at funerals, and sometimes people say, well, about tributes, I didn't recognize who was being spoken of there. I try never to be dishonest in a tribute. I never do that. But you always know that in a tribute, I'm only giving part of the story. I'm not going to go and list a pile of the wrong traits of people. If you think I should do that, let me know, and we'll arrange maybe the tribute for your funeral at the same time in that. But one of the values of that in a funeral is we can learn from the good traits of people's lives. We can learn from the many good qualities of love and commitment and hard work that were in the generations of the past. Focus on the good. It's important that in our family situation that we have a positive attitude and that we're not always negative and cynical. And so while maybe there's a relative and there's certain quirks about them which are not the nicest, don't let that dominate conversations with your children. And the children bring up those quirks, highlight the good qualities as well. Be positive in that. But then this is the point. Building something new is the next thing. looking, the purpose of looking over the past is as we look to the future in our families, let us keep those qualities, let's keep those characteristics, let's keep those attributes that are positive and good. Let's learn from that hard-working ethic of the previous generation. Let's look at that commitment, that loyalty, which in many ways marked previous generations. Let's hold on to that which is good. Let us think of that which is not so good and be determined that we are not going to follow in that. Someone has said that when you study great theologians, it's like standing on the shoulders of a giant. And if you study great theologians and you're standing on the shoulders of these giants, you can see further than them. And in a sense, we should be better. We should be wiser than the previous generation if we learn from them. If we don't learn from them, we'll not be wiser. Learn what is good. Learn what is not so good. And be determined. Let's keep on that which is good. Let's have a heritage for our children, our family, which will honor the Lord. And hold on to that for the days ahead. So we have the importance of family roots. Taking time to do that. And it's good to do that and to recall stories like that. And then secondly, we have the importance of spiritual roots. And this is so encouraging. No matter what their past, a Christian family has a new beginning in Christ. Even if you come from the most difficult of situations, all things are new in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, which means we don't have to be enslaved by the mistakes of the past. We don't have to make the mistakes of our kids that our parents maybe made with us. We don't have to make the mistakes of our kids tomorrow that we made with our kids yesterday. With God's grace, we can have a fresh start. We can look to the future, and with His power, His help, relying on Him, we can do a better job in the future than we did in the past. And so parents who are maybe dismayed and think, oh, I haven't done anything, I haven't done a good job as a parent. Okay, you tell the Lord where you've failed Him. Tell the Lord where you've let Him down. But understand this, with the Lord's grace, the Lord's help, we can have a better future. And as we think of our spiritual heritage, our identity is in Jesus, and this should permeate every part of family life. Our Christianity should be something that should impact everything that we do. As you'll be aware of, in our children's address at Dunn, we've got a dog at the beginning of the year in springtime. And when I'm taking that dog out for a walk, you know, I think it was that Calvin or someone said, when someone becomes a Christian, even their dog should know the difference. And as I take my dog out for a walk, you know, at times dogs can be a bit exasperating, you know, like why every single post and so forth and that. But I'm very aware, if I get angry with my dog in a vocal way, and people observe that, what sort of witness is that? My Christianity should impact everything that I do. And so should your Christianity. It should impact the way you play sport. I have no time for those people whose Christianity ends at the touchline. I think that's so wrong. Your Christianity should permeate your workplace, your classroom. Your Christianity should permeate every area of being a parent in the family. This identity in Christ, the fatherhood of God, is one of the most exciting parts of the Christian life. Paul says in Romans 8, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Something similar in Galatians 4. "And because you're sons, God has sent the spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And the point here is that our children should see in those of us who are Christian parents, they should see in us being a child of God impacts who we are. That we behave differently from non-Christian families because we have a Father in heaven. It's our Heavenly Father. We teach them to grow up to love, to revere, respect. It's our Heavenly Father who sets the agenda. We teach our children that when they're at school, Yes, their father and their mother isn't seeing what they're doing, but their heavenly Father sees what they're doing. And in all that they do, it should be honoring their heavenly Father. It should show that they have an identity in God. They have an identity in God the Father and an identity in Christ, that we're different. We have a heritage from the Lord. We have been brought into His family, adopted into His family. And therefore, that impacts everything that we do. J.I. Packer says this: if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Parents, do you have a great sense of God being your loving heavenly Father? Does that thought thrill you? I hope it does. And I hope you pass on that thrill, that excitement to your children, that they have a Father who cares for them, who has a love for them far more than you and I have a love for our children, and a Father who wants the very best for them. Cause our children to grow up with an identity of being a child of God. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful prospect that is. So, we have seen there, first of all, the importance of family roots, the importance of spiritual roots, and then thirdly, important steps to building a new heritage. Just a few wee guides here as we think about starting out on this. In Joshua chapter 4, we read earlier in the service the 12 stones that were taken from the river Jordan when the children of Israel passed into the promised land. They were erected as a monument to remind God's people, and particularly to remind the children of the goodness of God, of the grace of God, of God bringing them into the promised land. And so we need to try and, in our lives with our children, constantly remind them and even erect stones of remembrance to help them to remember the faithfulness and the goodness of God. So much is in Christianity is about remembering. Think of the Passover feast. It was to help people to remember. The Feast of the Tabernacles was to help people to remember the days in the wilderness. Think of the Lord's Supper. It was to help people to remember. We're told to remember the Sabbath day and use the Sabbath as a day to remember the goodness of God. So we have to try and encourage our kids to remember the faithfulness of God. A number of wee pointers in this I have sort of gleaned from this and also from my own thinking. First of all, have quality time with your children. We need to invest time with our children without unnecessary distractions from the TV or the tablet, the phone, whatever. We need to invest in this. Children growing up and going the right way, like that arrow in the picture, we have to work at this. We have to give our time to this. We need to give quality time. And quality of time, I mean time with which we can talk to our kids. It doesn't mean necessarily all the time a time where we're sitting with a Bible open. No. Quality time can be a drive in the car and we're chatting to our kids. It can be a walk in the countryside. It can be doing a job in the garden. It can be playing a board game in which we talk to each other. We talk to them. We listen to them. We need to have quality time with our children. The second thing is about bringing spiritual conversations into all of life. The book of Deuteronomy speaks about this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. And this is what it says about this. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. We need to be bringing our Christianity. We need to be bringing the truth about God, about Jesus, into our everyday conversations with our kids. So we need to have conversations and work at having conversations with kids. And we need to bring the Bible into it. The best way for this is not to be forced, is if we really are consumed in the Bible ourselves, if we are really diligent in our own Bible study, diligent at sitting under the teaching of God's Word in church, it will naturally flow out into our kids' lives if we are diligent in that. If we're diligent in our study and praying for our kids, those two things together will be powerful. And there's other wee things we can do, like Sunday dinner. Ask them, can they remember what the message was now? Sometimes it breaks my heart when I ask that question at home. The wee notes does help them to remember. Ask them what the message is. What are you doing? It's not a checkup. You're giving them an opportunity as a family to talk about Christian things. Ask them what they learned in Sunday school. If they had RE in school, ask them what they learned in RE, what they learned in GBBB, and that. So talk to them about that. There's little things to help in that and to discuss that. Then thirdly, make the most of mealtimes and Christian holidays. I think mealtimes are so important that we protect them, that we don't have the TV on all the time, that we don't have the tablets and that we sit as a family. It's one of the few opportunities often we'll have as a family to sit and to talk. I think you really should protect that as for family. And children, if young people, if you don't like the idea of the TV and everything turned off, well, I should just say, tough. I think you need to have a time as a family. Your parents are more important than a little square screen. They are. So protect mealtimes. I think Christian holidays, I'm thinking about Christmas and Easter. Do little things as a family and create opportunities to talk about the things of Christ. Use those occasions. Coming up to Christmas, get maybe an Advent reading book to do as a family. Read the Christmas story with your family. Even at mealtimes, just doing a short wee reading towards the end of mealtime, something like that. Start somewhere. Getting the truth of God's Word. One of the things which I found was very helpful in what Barbara and Kent Hughes says was, what you need is not novelty, but consistency. Start little habits that will stay with your kids forever. So I would say make the most of mealtimes and Christian holidays. And then the final thing is create your own traditions. Discuss as a family with your kids about what traditions you have and think about other traditions which you might have as well. Barbara and Kent Hughes talk about the wee tradition of Mother's Day, of bringing food to mum in bed, things like that. What a lovely way to teach our kids to respect mother and indeed to teach our kids to serve at the same time. Other wee traditions they talked about was pajama journeys where the kids just go to bed. And you can try this one. They don't live in Northern Ireland. The kids just go to bed and you just get them out of bed in their pajamas and you just go to an ice cream parlor or something like that in their pajamas and that. Create your own little traditions. As a family, we have an Advent calendar, which is a wee tradition we have. It helps us to focus on Christmas coming up, a wee bit of sweets and the different things. Christmas morning in our house, the presents are always in different places. There's like a wee treasure hunt has to go on every year, or follow string and things they gathered on. That's become a wee Christmas tradition. But the thing about these wee Christmas or these wee traditions that you put into your family, it helps that sense of identity. This is what we do as a family, a sense of belonging, a sense of fun, but also introduce others which have purpose. And that's one of the things your kids will know as they grow up. They will value those times together as a family. Now, some things will work and some things won't. I remember a number of years ago, we were on holiday in Donegal, and we were really in the middle of nowhere in County Donegal, sure between Pettico and Donegal town, surrounded by bogs and lakes and that. And it happened the sheriff had to travel to work one day, so I was left with the two girls. In the middle of nowhere, you couldn't really walk along the road. It wasn't safe. So we had to do something together. So there's a wee mountain behind where we were staying, the wee cottage we were staying. So I said to the girls, right, tomorrow, Mum's going to work. We're going to climb the wee mountain behind us. We'll get packed lunch with us, and we'll go up the mountain and we'll climb. We took a kite with us as well. And we went up that mountain. I was literally throwing, Karis, over some shucks and stuff. It wasn't a path up this mountain, going over fences. At the end of the holiday, he asked him, what's the best part of your holiday? I was climbing that mountain. Why? We spent money taking them to cinema and other places, and this cost no money. Why was that the best thing? We did it as a family. It was quality time together. Really, if we're going to have a sense of identity, that our children have a sense of identity belonging to us as a family, what do we need to do? Spend time with them. We need to be those who spend time in God's Word, that will then permeate into the lives of our children. Let's invest in this. And do pray for this series, because, listen, it's a slightly different the way it's being done. I pray that indeed God will guide me so that I as a parent, you as a parent, you as other Christians will learn biblical principles and practices to help us all to guide the next generation for the Savior.